XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're taking a look at how to get along with your in-laws during the holidays, particularly if you have in-laws that are not necessarily the kindest people in the world. If they were not born warm and fuzzy, how do you get through the holidays without having chaos in your household? My guests are Dr. Roz Aker Black, psychologist and relationship expert, and Christian marriage counselor James Marshall. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Crystal, calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Crystal?
Hello, how are you?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I am a married woman, and Christmas dinner is coming up, and I'm not sure if I want to go. My mother-in-law is overbearing. She prides in her son's business, and she's more or less, she's not a direct woman. She's more or less of a indirect type, and she insinuates things, you know, like, actually we had a disagreement a few days ago. He had a child from his previous marriage. He's a third time, he's been a third time groom, and he's been married. I'm his third wife, so he has one child from his previous marriage, and we were going to get the baby for the holidays, and so she had my mother-in-law, she intervened, and she screwed up the entire visitation order. So now we're not going to be able to get her for Christmas. Her mom is saying no. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really selfish because her dad, my husband, the baby's dad, you know, we were really looking forward to spending Christmas with her. But grandma says, hey, I want to see her on this day. Mm. It was my birthday.
Well, hold on, Crystal. These situations can be very, very involved and complex. And my guests have heard the lion's share of what you're suggesting.
Sure.
Dr. Roz, mm-hmm. What are you hearing and how do they handle this? Because, once again, we have children involved. And you were right when you said at the very beginning, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a classic case of the mother-in-law overstepping her boundaries. If it's not in the visitation, and I don't know, Crystal, you didn't say or not, but if it's not in the visitation for her to pick up the child, then why are you picking up the child? And so there needs to be boundaries. And if you guys have to go to court, that the only way that she can see the grandchild is when she's visiting with you guys, then sometimes you have to put those boundaries in place, because now you're at a situation where you can't even see your stepdaughter for Christmas, and that's going to sour your whole entire Christmas. And so if you guys were to put those boundaries in place, then these situations wouldn't happen, mm-hmm.
James,
possibly.
You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. And I think there's a lot of onus on the spouse whose parent it is to step up and say, hey, mom, This is my wife, and if you love me, you will show love for her as well, because we are now one. Two have become one in our marriage, and you know, expect them to respect you and love you and include you in the family circle. And if they choose not to, then your husband teams with you to say, okay, well, we're going to continue and start our own until we're accepted here. But we have to, those whose parents it is, the spouses whose parent it is, has to step up and begin to lay the foundation and not put the other spouse in the middle of something that it's really theirs to own.
Okay, Crystal, thank you so much for calling, and good luck to you. Before I go back to the phone lines, I wanted to go back to the question that I asked before the break. When you have an in-law, father or mother, who may be seen as bitter, manipulative, and you mentioned being humble, and I went on to talk about, you know, painting the house with kindness and the like. But if you have someone who is coming in, you know, like the Wicked Witch of the West, then how do you deal with that person? Because that person is still the parent of your spouse.
Yeah, it's tough because you want to be respectful because of your love for your spouse. But at the same time, you still have a responsibility to share truth with love. And so oftentimes that looks like me having a loving way of sharing with them how their disrespect is impacting me as an individual, how it's impacting our family unit, sharing our observation with them, and then also letting them know that you have a desire to team up with them to create a better harmony situation, a relationship in the household. But at the end of the day, I have to remain cool, calm, and collected as best as possible, because if I get enraged, if I get out of control, I'm only adding more fuel to an already hot fire. And so it's not going to change anything, me screaming to the top of my lungs. But what could change is me showing them love in spite of their actions and their attitude.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Reggie. Reggie, calling from Mitchellville. Thanks for calling, Reggie. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and sure. Happy holidays, everyone.
You too.
This is a cautionary tale. I made the mistake of trying to bridge the gap between my spouse and my family, and it did not go well. As I've heard both consultants say, you have to side with your spouse, and it's a hard road, but in the end, it's the only way to go. Because I say that because, as I said, this is cautionary, but I now pay the price for siding, for trying to bridge that gap.
What kind of price did you pay, briefly, please?
Okay. My wife condemns me for not standing up for her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that in and of itself carries a high price. If I had a question, my question would be, how do you make amends for that mistake or for that decision?
That's a great question, Reggie. So here's the thing: what you should understand about women is that security is our uttermost need. And so when you put your spouse in a situation, a woman especially, to where there's a threat to that security. See, a lot of people think when an individual is insecure, when they say woman is insecure, they're thinking it's another woman. No, any kind of threat to the relationship can cause insecurity. So your wife felt as if you didn't stand up for her. In her mind, you didn't love her enough to protect her. So now what you're going to have to do is kind of like the whole bankruptcy thing, the 7 years. You're going to have to work very hard to show her that she is the number one in your life. And that bridge in the gap situation, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But at the foremost, if there's going to be a bridge in the gap, you guys have to do it together. You can't be the one doing it, because that's what a marriage is. It's teamwork. So you guys have to adamantly be working at it together.
Yeah, as well intentioned as he was, and you can't blame him for attempting to bring everybody together.
Absolutely.
But it also seems to me that he is flat-footed and wide-eyed, and he has seen exactly how this has impacted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as some often say, once you know better, you can do better. Yeah. And this is just an opportunity, it's a lesson learned, that at the end of the day, you know, your faith is first, your spouse is second, and everyone else is third, you know. And, you know, the Christian Bible says this is the reason why a man leaves his father and mother's household and is joined to his wife. So, you know, I'm separating from the care and responsibility of my parents to make a new priority, which is my new family and my spouse. So I just think it's important. And I'm glad he learned the lesson before it's too late.
Yeah. And can I say this? This is back to Nate's situation when he, you know, he left his family because of the mother-in-law. When you're in a situation like that, and we were just kind of having this conversation, you have to recognize when you're in pain. You have to recognize what that emotional pain looked like. That they are a classic example of someone that needs to be in therapy. They are a classic example of someone that needs to be in family therapy, because you can work through those issues. At the root and at the core of all this is not understanding boundaries and not understanding how to manage a conflict. If you learn how to do those things, you can work through any situation. Any situation can be worked out, minus abuse and things of that nature. But any simple situation, the manipulation that it was Nate, right?
Yeah.
The manipulation that Nate was talking about. In that situation, you have to be able to call people out, but you can't, as you were saying earlier, you can't do it in this angry kind of format. It has to be in a way of where they're able to see their situation. And therapy is a great and safe place for those type of interactions. So, you know, when you have physical pain, what do? You go to the doctor.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When you have emotional pain, and that's emotional pain, when you have to leave your family, that's emotional pain. You have to recognize what that is, and then you have to use the tools that are available. And the tools that are available are everywhere if you do the proper research to find it. You can go visit, you know, have Christian counseling with you.
Sure.
You can come see me. There are people out here that can help you navigate through that process to where you don't. Because honestly, sadly, Nate, if you're still listening, brother, what you did, even though you were trying to mitigate an issue, you abandoned family.
That's right.
And so that's creating another situation.
Right.
And not that, and it goes back to what you were saying, Harold, in terms of, you know, people can only take so much. When you're at that point to where you can't take anymore, that's when you're a perfect candidate for therapy.
Okay.
A perfect candidate. So.
Well, Reggie, thank you so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate it, and certainly happy holidays to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sheila, calling from Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for calling, Sheila. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just listening to the conversations, and the doctors and therapists have said just about everything I was thinking to say. But one thing that I would share is that love conquers a multitude. And
that's right.
I know that there's therapists out here, and I would, you know, agree with them with that. And I was married before, and my mother-in-law was pretty active in our relationship, but she was not overbearing. I could have taken it that way. I just chose to take the high road. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think when it's pertaining to your spouse, you have to, you know, step away from self and not be so concerned about every little thing that I'm feeling about his mother and how they may be treating me. You know, I really would never know if my in-laws didn't really care for me or not, because I just tried to love them. And I feel like if you continue to try to be kind and show love to people, eventually even the hardest and meanest mm-hmm. people will back down from their hard-heartedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that. I'm 60-some years old. I've seen it happen many times where if you just show love and act appropriately, I think anytime you try to allow your husband not to be involved with his family, it's hard on your relationship, because that man loves his mother. He loves his father. He loves his brothers and sisters in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with all the speakers, and they pretty much said what I was thinking to say. I just would say that you just have to learn to love. And I have had a couple instances where I've been able to counsel a couple of young couples.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady was saying about how the mothers were so attached to these sons. Well, it may be, but that's something you have to help the mother work through. I mean, don't just throw up your hands, be evil mm-hmm. and mean. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just not the way to get anything accomplished. I don't understand that thinking. So.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing with us, and we appreciate it. And happy holidays to you. I need to take a break. When we come back, I have another question about the situation regarding Nate, who called earlier, and some other issues that we can talk about as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about dealing with unruly, uncomfortable, unpleasant in-laws during the holidays. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about getting along with unruly, unpleasant in-laws during the holidays? My guests are Dr. Roz Aker Black, psychologist and relationship expert, and Christian marriage counselor James Marshall. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to Nate. We spoke about Nate earlier, and he said that he, you know, finally left after dealing with some really severe in-law problems. And he said that his wife had been manipulated by her mother. And maybe this is, it's too late for that. Or maybe even I'm putting the cart before the horse. But should he have, and it sounds like he did, but should he have said something to his wife about intervening with the mother so as not to cause him any issues?
I'm pretty sure they argued about it a lot.
Yeah.
Because he seemed like a guy who didn't mind
not gonna hold his tongue.
Mind.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm pretty sure. But there is this thing where you are beholden to your parents, you know, and especially if you have a good relationship. And he said that her parents' divorce was very hurtful. And so they probably sided with mom at this point. And so there probably is this caretaker of where we take care of each other with him and the wife and the mom situation. To him, it looked like manipulation. To them, that was how they functioned. That's how they coped with the breakup of the divorce. So really, he wouldn't have been able to get her to intervene. It would take someone who had no dog in the fight, mm-hmm. for her to be able to see the manipulation. Because sometimes when it looks like manipulation to someone else, it's a form of survival for the people that are being manipulated. So that's how they've survived. It's their norm.
Right.
And so when you disrupt someone's norm, then you got to be able to put something in place for them to function. And if you don't have a solution to the disruption, then it's going to create more chaos.
James, if you are looking into marrying someone, we often hear about marriage, premarital counseling, but something just occurred to me. Do you need to examine the relationship that you see in the future with the in-laws? Obviously, you know, the counseling is with husband and wife or, you know, spouses, but should you take that into consideration?
Absolutely. I always do two projects in my premarital courses. The first project is understanding your personal history, understanding how I was raised and what influence my parents had in my life, so that you can understand that, you know, at the end of the day, more is caught than what is taught. So you can understand that I'm going to have certain habits, I'm going to have certain traits that come from my family. And then the second project, as they do answer these questions and they understand this stuff, the second project I always have them do is I always have them do what's called a parental interview with their own parents or a parent-like figure. Because the idea here is that I need to talk to my parents about how my relationship with them will change now that I'm going to say I do to my spouse. And so that conversation there starts the process of beginning to, as Dr. Roz said, setting boundaries. This is my relationship has changed. And the person whose parent, the spouse, goes to their own parents. They don't go to the other parents. They go to their own parents by themselves to have this conversation that my relationship with you is going to change. This is what it's going to look like. These are the boundaries. Here's how I want you to hold me accountable to my vows, but not be involved in my marriage. And there's a big difference between the two.
How do you do that?
Well, you know, you hold someone accountable by saying, don't forget that on this day, you said for better or for worse, in sickness and health, to death do us part. You get involved in their marriage when you say, hey, at the end of the day, I don't like what you're doing here. You need to do this. You need to do that. Uninvited. Mm-hmm. You know, I just come in and impose my thoughts, my perspective, my principles on your life when you haven't invited me into the conversation. And that's being involved, and that's probably overstepping the boundaries, Dr. Roz said earlier. So as a parent of children who are now married, I have to first recognize that they will always be my child, but they won't always be a child. Mm-hmm. And since they're beginning their family now, I need to understand that my role is to have influence through my accountability. You know, if you said you was going to do for better or worse, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. If you said that your spouse comes first, I'm not going to keep you over my house all night long. I'm going to send you back home to your spouse. If you have a problem and you say, you know, whatever the case may be, no, talk to your husband about that. No, talk to your wife about that. And that's our responsibility when we have adult children that are getting married.
Mm-hmm. You're nodding your head, Dr. Ross.
Well, you know, I was just thinking back my mom is so funny now. Like, if I'm on the phone with her and my husband comes home from work, she's like, all right, bye. Talk to your husband.
Right.
You know, she's very, and of course, before my dad passed, 47 years married, you know. So for her, she really, we have these talks now. It's a very different, it's like friendship kind of now. Mm-hmm. But since
oh,
I've
been
like, there.
You mean like, girl, let me tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there it is.
And she has these talks with me about what it is to be a wife. And I'm so grateful to have that because I do recognize that a lot of people don't have that. And it's I love what you do with couples that come and see because that was one of my biggest fears. My husband's parents divorced it too. And then my parents were married for 47 years. So I was always nervous because for him, people break up. For me, people work it out. And so that was when we were doing our premarital counseling, that was a huge thing. He was like, well, sometimes you just don't get it right. And I'm like, no.
Right.
Like, you started this thing by proposing. You better make sure
that's right.
You know, you've got it right. So it really was a mind shift. My pastor had us to do the interview and had
right.
us to really think about what life would look like. And had we not done that, there would have been some bumps in the road that would have caused some issues, you know. And so I'm grateful that to have had that experience. I think everybody should do premarital counseling, everybody, because it really totally opens your eyes. You could think you know everything about a relationship because you love somebody, mm-hmm. but not until you get into those intricacies of what life really is going to look like do you really understand, like, oh, this ain't just, I love you, we living together. This is like really building a life. And I think sometimes people don't factor everything in. You
That's
know,
right.
I look at my parents. When both of my grandmothers were ill, they moved into my parents' house. But it was very important for both my parents, as they were both only children. It was very important for them to honor their, you know, so it was just an understanding that when they're ill, I've known couples, I've worked with couples that's been an issue. A parent has fallen ill and one of the spouses wants to move the parent in.
Yeah.
And the other parent is like, no. And you look at that, the other spouse is like, no. And you look at that situation, like, how could you be so heartless? But it really boils down to the foundation. It really boils down to the foundation. If your spouse didn't have a good relationship with their parents, they're not going to understand your ties mm-hmm. to your parents if you did have a great foundation. And so you do have to use those opportunities of influence. And I like how you said, you know, accountability, but not stepping in, because, you know, every time my mother has butted into my marriage, we've asked.
Right.
There's never been.
You've what?
We've asked her to.
You've asked
yeah,
her to come in. Oh,
like
I see.
We've asked mm-hmm. her to. It's not like she's always been. And my dad was the same way. You know, I remember one time I was living in Harrisburg and my husband was living here in Pennsylvania. And I got a flat tire and it was snowing. And I called my daddy first. And he was like, did you call your husband?
That's right. That's
it
right.
It didn't even dawn on me yep. because I always mm-hmm. called my dad. You know what I mean? He mm-hmm. he was that protector. And I was like, oh, you're right. You know, and then I called my husband. And I was really embarrassed by the fact that I didn't even think about calling my husband
right.
first. And we were newly married, maybe about 6 months. But that was the accountability.
Yeah.
What is the advice? You know, we've spoken about advising the young married couples or the married couples as a whole. But what is it that in-laws really need to understand as their child prepares to get married?
That's a great question, Harold. I think, you know, and I said it before, the first thing they have to understand is that this is an opportunity that you've been raising your child for. You've been raising your child and preparing your child for a launch to one day start their own family. And everything you've instilled in them, all the lessons they've learned, this is their opportunity to actually display it and explore it. And so as a parent, it's our job to stand on the sidelines and say, you got it. You can do this. I believe in you. You've been waiting for this moment. And not to hold them on the sidelines. It's our job to encourage them, to get them on the court, to get them in the game, so that we can see the fruit of our labor as parents when, you know, our children get involved. So that's the first thing. And I think, you know, the second thing, most importantly, is you have to ask yourself as a parent, what type of support system story do I want to create in this second half of my life, or however old you may be? What kind of support system story do I want to die and my children say, yeah, they always had something to say, or was nothing was ever good enough for them? Or when it's my time to leave this earth, do I want my children to be able to say, you know what? They were always there for me. They were so supportive. They encouraged me to do the right thing, even when I didn't want to. You know, they allowed me to try and fail, and they were just a supportive partner in my journey of life. You know, what kind of story do you want to create? And we don't think about that too often. We just, you know, only focus on the right now. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're leaving a legacy, whether we like to believe it or not.
Absolutely.
I was about to say that. What is the emotional legacy that you will leave to your family, to your, you know, to your children, whether, you know, will your children be able to look back as you age or even after you're gone and say, was my parent or are my parents bitter people, married or divorced? Mm-hmm. But, you know, were they happy? Were they encouraging? Were they positive? And can you indeed take something, you know, from that? So I hope that we have been able to give something to our listeners tonight. And real quick, because as always, we're going to make sure that the information to reach both of our counselors is on WHUR.com. But Dr. Roz, what's your web address?
IamDrRoz.com.
IamDrRoz.com. DRROZ.com. And James, what's yours?
MarshallMinistries.com.
MarshallMinistries.com. Well, I want to thank both of you. I'm going to be posting that, of course, on WHUR.com. It'll be on there before 8:30, as always. Dr. Roz Acre-Black and... did I do it wrong again?
No. That's perfect. Acre Black. That's Acre it. Black.
Yeah, I'll tell you. We're going to change your name to Smith or Jones. You know, James Marshall, thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, December 22nd. I heard something in my head. I don't know what I heard. Oh,
that was perfect.
I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR or Twitter at H Fisher WHUR. Now stay tuned to The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night, everybody.